see that Ammon had a very uncontrollable desire for Tamar. In fact, the desire was so great that in verse 2 it says that Ammon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Ammon thought it hard for him to do anything for her. Now, Ammon, fascinated about Tamar. And you know, this is where men get into trouble. Anyway, when they start fascinating themselves about the opposite sex. You know, many times somebody will look at a picture of somebody, oh man, she's so beautiful, he is so beautiful. I wish I could have her for life. You know what I mean? Right? Anyway, but so what we do is, and there was no different with Ammon all the way back then. You know, he felt that she was one of the most beautiful women ever to live or ever was born upon this face of the earth. And he desired to have her more than anything else in life. In fact, he desired her so much that he made himself sick over it. I mean, he was just physically sick over Tamar. Physically sick. I noticed Larry, see Larry, I was looking at Wayne, so Larry thought I was looking at him, so he moved over. Did you notice that? Hey, guilty consciences, oh my soul! But you know, his desire to have something that he did not have was overcoming him, and he was becoming ill because of it. His love for Tamar was more than he could handle, and he did not know exactly what to do about it. You know, I can see this going through his mind, how he was hoping that he could somehow have her for his wife. And he wanted to take and figure out a way that him and her could take and come together. But, you know, when we have desires to have things that we shouldn't have, it becomes an obsession to us, and we need to be careful that it doesn't commit us or consume us and cause us to sin. You know, if a person has a desire for drugs, for alcohol, pornography, or anything which would consume their thoughts more than what they are consumed on God, it's sin. After all, God said in the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. Now, what happens is this, and I'll be honest with you, you're looking at somebody who is as guilty of it as you are. I guarantee it. I am as guilty of desires as you are. Now, I'm going to give you a little example. Back in 1989, I wanted an airplane. Amen? I wanted an airplane so bad. I had my pilot's license, and I was renting airplanes and stuff, and I thought, man, I want an airplane, and I will do anything to get that airplane. So you know what I did? I went out and got a third job. And that third job that I had, the only thing that the money was used for was to put away for an airplane. Anyway, so what we did is I finally found a used airplane that this guy had, and I got it for a really good price, and so we bought it. The thing was a wreck. It was a wreck. I mean, the paint was coming off of it, the inside of it, the upholstery was falling off the seats, all the stuffing was coming out of the seats, the instruments needed to be redone. I mean, the thing was a wreck, but I got it for a good price. So we flew it back home, and you know what? I was obsessed with that airplane. I was. Every minute of every day that I could spend over at the airport, I was over there working on that airplane. I stripped the whole thing down, took all the paint. You know, on the tail section, there was five coats of paint on there. Five finally got the inside. My wife, she took and she did all of we took all the seats out and took them home, and she reupholstered all the seats for it. We did put a new headliner in it. We put a new carpet in it. We put, oh, man, it was really nice looking when we got off the airplane. And there were times, believe it or not, that even I, as religious guy, would look at that airplane before I get off. And you know what? That becomes a God to us. And, you know, sometimes God has a way of taking things away. And then 1984, we're in plane crash. Plane was destroyed. And you know what? I never bought another one. Because I knew that that was an obsession to me. And it was becoming a wedge between my relationship with God. And I said, I don't ever want it again. But you know, Ammon, he had a friend. Look at verse 3. It says, but Ammon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, even though Ammon was the king's son, he still had friends. Much unlike our president. So, I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to throw this in. I feel sorry for our president. I really do. You know, it doesn't make any difference what decision he makes, what he does, how much he helps people, or anything else. People still aren't satisfied, and they're going to protest against it. You know, this Maxine Waters, I think her name is. Did you see her, Waters, whatever her name is? Did you see what happened to her? She had to cancel all of the public speeches, or, you know, things that she was going to do after, well, actually, the next 4 months, because people were so upset with what she said about how people should cause riots and stuff if they saw any of the cabinet members, they saw any of the staff, they saw anybody that works for the president at all, they should take and get a group of people there and just start a riot because of it. And that went viral. And boy, I'll tell you what. Another one was with Sarah Sanders going into the Red Hen or whatever that restaurant was. You heard they shut their doors, didn't you? They closed it down. They closed the restaurant down because there was no business anymore. None. In fact, they here last week they showed a picture of the sign on the door closed. That's what they put on the sign. This restaurant is now closed because of President Trump. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, wait. He probably never was at that restaurant. You know, it was not his fault that the owner of that restaurant was an idiot. You know what I mean? And but he gets blamed for everything. And so anyway, here we see that Ammon, he had a friend, his name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was the son of Joab, who was the captain of David's army. Now, Jonadab also lived in the palace with the king's sons and the daughters. More than likely, Jonadab and Ammon grew up together. And they probably had and did a lot of things together. It's believed that Jonadab and Ammon were approximately the same age. Jonadab might have been just a little bit older than him. However, they were pretty close in age, so they were very good friends. They probably did a lot together and things like that. But notice one thing about Jonadab. He was a subtle man. Now, the word subtle means sly. It means artful, cunning, crafty. If you take and you look in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, you'll see another subtle person. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he going to get you to do this no matter what. I'm going to get you to do that no matter what. I don't care who it hurts. I don't care what happens. You need to do this. You need to do that. Now, Jonadab knew it was unlawful for Ammon to have his sister. You know, Jonadab went to the same church that Ammon went to. He listened to the same preaching that Ammon went to. He read the same law as Ammon. Jonadab, who was a friend of Ammon, was going to be Ammon's worst enemy in the advice that he was going to give him. Let's take a look at verse 5. Now, well, let's go back to verse 4. Speaking of Jonadab, he says to Ammon, and he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Ammon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. But here we see he's telling his guts out to Jonadab. He said, you really want to know what's wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. I love Tamar, my... Okay? Now, let's look at verse 5. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy head, make thyself sick unto him, and say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it with at her hand. Now, here we see that good old Jonadab gave some real good advice. He says, this is what I want you to do. Lay down on your bed, make yourself sick. Take your finger down your throat and throw up. No. Make yourself sick. Make everybody think that you are on your deathbed. Then, when the king comes to find out what's wrong with you, he says, can you have Tamar come and give me something to eat? If only Tamar could take and fix me something in my life, I would feel so much better. I can see this happening. Can't you see this being played out? I can see this whole thing being played out. And this is what Jonadab is telling him to do. You know, in simple terms, as soon as she comes in, you take her. You know, this was the worst advice Ammon could have ever gotten. It was unlawful for Ammon to have Tamar because she was his sister. It was unlawful for Ammon to force himself on any woman. It was sin for them to have a relationship unless they were married. Now, Jonadab knew all this when he gave the advice to Ammon. Jonadab knew all this. He knew that it was unlawful. He knew that it was sin. He knew that this shouldn't be happening. However, he still gave the advice. And you know, I really believe that is exactly what Ammon was looking for. I believe that Ammon was looking for someone to give him the advice that he wanted to have. Amen? Have you ever known people that to do that? You take and they'll come into my office and they'll sit down and they'll want my counsel, and then they'll take and they'll go out and then they'll go to somebody else and talk to them because they didn't like what I told them. And they go from person to person to person to person, trying to find somebody, anybody, who will agree with what they want to do. You know people like that? I do. I know people like that. You know, but it's wrong. You know, you come in, you want counsel, you get good counsel, and then you go try to find somebody who will give you the counsel you want. Well, why didn't you just do that at the beginning? You know, why waste everybody else's time, you know, doing that? Jonadab also knew if Ammon did something unlawful to his sister, this would cause bad circumstances to happen in the family of David. He did not know exactly what would happen or what would take place, but he was a crafty person and had been around the palace long enough to know things would not be good. He knew there was going to be repercussions if this went through, but he still gave him this kind of advice. You know, we need to be so careful who we listen to and take advice from. You know, too many times we listen to the wrong people, and we do things that we shouldn't do and fall into sin, and after things go south, we go, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. You take advice off of people that you shouldn't, and then all of a sudden things don't work out the way they should. But we need to take advice from people who are godly people, who will give us good, godly advice. You know, when people give us advice, we need to ask ourselves, what am I going to do with this advice? Is it going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt someone else? Or is it going to hurt my testimony with God? If any of those answers are yes, don't take the advice. Don't take the advice. You know, and I've drilled this into our teenagers, Ask yourself these three questions. If you're going to do something, ask yourself, is this going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt somebody else? Or is it going to hurt my testimony? And if don't do it. Don't do it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to fall in sin, and I guarantee that things will not come out the way it is. Verses 6 through 14, we don't have time to read all that, but in verses 6 through 14, if you have time, go ahead and read. Well, we'll read verse 6 real quick. But it says, so Ammon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king came to see him, Ammon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Oh, he was so sick in bed, wasn't he? Oh, man. I mean, you talk about a baby. He is a baby. You know. Here we see that he had some really poor judgment. He did just exactly what Jonadab told him to do. And after he had committed this great sin, he found out that it was not what he thought it was. If you go down and you read through that, you'll see that he had ruined the life of Tamar. He had taken something from her that she could never get back. He had shame in his own heart for the sin that he had committed. And it goes on, and it shows that he no longer loved Tamar because of what he had done to her. You know, bad decisions which we make in our own lives will in turn cause shame and hurt for all those who are around us. The other night I was talking to some people and they have somebody in prison. And she said to me, you know, it's amazing of how when people go to prison, how much it affects other people. And how many people that affects. You know, and I think to myself, yeah, you're absolutely right. When a person messes up, they don't only mess up their life, but they mess up everybody who loves them and cares for them and wants the best for them. It messes up everybody all the way around. We need to be so careful that we do not make bad decisions in our lives. You know, once a bad decision is made, it's impossible to take it back and make it go back to the way it had been. We need to make good judgment decisions because the decisions we make are going to affect more than ourselves, and they're going to be long lasting. You know, yesterday I was in Walmart and I was picking up some soap, And there was a lady there in the aisle, and she was looking at the old hand cream and stuff. And I got talking to her, and I said to her, I said, oh, you have dry skin? And she goes, yeah. She says, and I can't find anything to use. I said, well, I use this here. And I said, it lasts for about 48 hours. And I said, you put it on, you put it in the shower, and I said, you can shower with it and everything else. And I said, I really like it. And we got to talking about, I don't know how we got talking about it, other places and things like that. And she said to me, she said, well, she's originally, I'm from England. I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah. She said, I've been back there for about 15 years, and I went back there. And she said, everything changed. In that 15 years, everything changed. She said, I didn't know anybody anymore. She said, the friends I used to have were all gone. And she said, it's amazing of how, as time goes on, we forget things that used to be. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about this here. You know, when someone does something wrong, it's going to affect everybody. She was telling me about her brother who was in prison in England. And she says, you know, she says, I didn't even know he was in prison until I went over there. I just lost all contact with him about 4 years ago, and here he was in prison. And she says, you know, she says, it really affected me. She says, I felt really bad. Because here he's in prison, and I didn't even know him. And so here he has done something bad, and it even affected her over here in the United States. But you know, whenever we make bad decisions, there's going to be something bad happen. Let's look at verses, go to chapter 13, verses 28 and 29. It says, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Ammon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Ammon, and then kill him, fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be vigilant. And the servants of Absalom said unto Ammon, as Absalom they commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up on his mule and fled. Because of the sin that he had committed and the bad decision that he had made, it cost him his life. It cost him his life. You know, when we sin, there's going to be consequences that are going to be involved. I guarantee it. I guarantee that when we step into sin, we're going to have to suffer the consequences of that sin. You know, God will forgive the sin if we ask Him to. After all, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're going to have to live with the consequences of that sin. You know, I was talking to a man here a while back, and he only had one arm. I said to him, so what happened to your other arm? He says, well, he says, here about 8, 9 years ago, he says, I was in a real bad car accident, and I lost my arm. I said, well, how'd that happen? He says, well, he says, I went out and went to a party. We did some drugs. I was drunk. And on the way home, I ran a stop sign. The bad part about it, he says, was coming the other way was a semi. And I lost. And I said to him, I said, what did that teach you? He said, it taught me a couple things. Number one, it taught me this. Never to drink and drive. I said, well, that was good. You learned that. He said, the second thing is this. He says, through this, he says, I got saved. I said, well, praise the Lord. And he says, you know, he says, the thing that this taught me was that even though I fell into sin, I still had to live with the consequences of that sin. Because I've got to go through the rest of my life with only one arm. And you know, that's the way it is. We have to live with the consequences of the sin we have because it was sin. You know, Amnon had lost his life for his sin. Absalom ran for his life because of the sin that he had committed against Amnon. You know, our sins affect everyone who we love and are close to, and we need to keep our lives away from sin. You know, if you go down through there, and you know what, it's really, really a sad story in that here we see that Amnon, he had the world by the tail. He was the king's son. You know, everything was going good for him. Anything he wanted, he could have. Except his sister. Or half-sister. But he took that. What we need to realize is that when we sin, it affects many people. That's why we need to stay away from sin as much as we can. If we can take and stay away from sin, we don't affect any other people either. Just ourselves. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thanks for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. I just pray that you be at the church service this morning. I pray that everything will go according to your perfect will. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll help us and guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 10 minutes.